asked me to sing a Christmas song. And y'all know how I feel about Christmas songs. But we're gonna do it anyway. So sing along.
I have to say, I saw all those kids, and I was like, I got to talk in front of them. They're more intimidating than you all adults, because in my mind, I'm like a kid when I hear people talk, and when they mess up, I'll be like thinking to myself, oh, that's wrong. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't have that many judgmental people listening to me talk. But anyway, Trevor was supposed to be up tonight, and if you got to hear Trevor the last time, he does an amazing job and gets really, he preaches. And it's fantastic. It really is. Everyone that gets up here does a good job. Everyone brings a different taste or a different style. But the way Trevor does it, we don't really see a lot. I got to get my water. I'm going to start walking the aisles like Justin does. Well, who else? Phil don't walk the aisles, does he? I don't know. Well, anyway. So anyway, they asked me if I would fill in. And y'all, I heard Sydney, when I walked in, I walked right into the conversation, and I don't think she knew I was there. And she was asking who was leading tonight, and I heard him say me, and she's like, again? And I mean, that just topped off the challenge it's been this week to try to prepare for this, because I'm telling you what, and it kind of pertains to a lot of what we're going to go over. I mean, every work challenge and everything. I mean, sitting here at 5:55 as we're getting ready to start, I get a text wanting to know why I'm not on this conference call that I seem to have lost the signal for. But anyway, it's just every moment that you'll get distracted if you let it. And you have to stay focused on the task at hand. And the task at hand right now is to try to give y'all a little bit of a message that's been on my heart. I've been listening to some different podcasts, different sermons, and then tying it all in together, because I do try to stay somewhat, not that we're tied to it, but it gives me an idea of where to speak from. And if you go by the plan that we had for the speakers, this was supposed to be Trevor, and it was supposed to be in Hebrews. I did a little Hebrews with the Sunday school class and never got to Hebrews 11, so I've kind of picked that out. But some things that I've heard through, like I said, some things I've been listening to, I'm on the road a lot. So I listen to books, I listen to podcasts. Phil will send me sermons, and some of them are like Trevor-type sermons, you know, real emotional, and some of them are very just, we listened to one recently. It was very good. It was from a men's conference. If you ever listen to Joe B. Martin, take a listen. He does a fantastic job of pointing out the war that we are in as Christians. But I've been struggling on how to start this out, because I don't know if when y'all prepare, if you've ever prepared to give a message, or whether it's leading a group like this or a sermon or whatever you want to call it, what do I start with? Do I start with that? Do I start with that? And then by the time, so far I've noticed this is the third time they've had me up here, I've never stayed in order with what I was supposed to. You guys find that? Okay. All right. Just wanna know if that was normal. All right, good. So, until right now, I don't know which one I'm going to start on, but I'm going to start with this before we get into his word. If Phil will say a prayer, I know that Justin did, but kids are out, and I'd just like to start off with a prayer. Let's get into it, get our minds right, and let's get into it.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this evening. We're thankful for this opportunity to live time together with the people that are gathered here this evening, Lord, to learn from your word. And we pray for Tim, Lord, as he brings the message, as he brings the things that you've laid on his heart, Lord, that he'll give him the words and he'll have the clarity to deliver it, Lord, in an applicable and relatable way for us. Lord, we're thankful for this time of year as we are in this Christmas season. And Lord, help us to focus on the real reason for the season and not get caught up in the hustle and bustle and the busyness of it all that is there for us to be involved in. Lord, all good things, but Lord, help us to remember the true reason for this season, the birth of our Savior. And Lord, we pray you be with our church, Lord, be with the youth and be with the Awana group as they have a Christmas party and give them good time and bless their time together, Lord, and their fellowship. And we ask these things in your precious name.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. So, anyway, the other day, I don't even know how I came across it. I was trying to find a new podcast to listen to, and I came across a podcast. I won't advertise for him, but I will. I don't know if you all know who John Rich is, the country music singer. That's his name, right? Yeah. Big and Rich, Lone Star, that fame. All right. So, a couple questions are asked by him, and he starts out telling his story, and he's talking about when he started out, you know, he had this vocal full ride scholarship to some college in Nashville, and realized that for him, college was not going to get him what he wanted, so he got his little band together. It became Lone Star, and they were traveling all over places. He said, what'd he say, like, Holiday Inn, whatever they're called there, where they eat and stuff. They just anywhere that would pay him the least little bit to do this. And it got him started, and he was just so driven to be successful. And they worked and worked, and he became very successful. He listed off all these accolades, all these awards, and, I mean, it almost sounded like he was bragging at one point, because he said, like, I need another award. But if you took it in context, he got to the point with the interviewer, and he said, I wasn't significant. And he's like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, I did all this, and he said, I was raised, and he said, my dad's a preacher. I was very successful in the world's view. In the world's eyes, I was right there at the top. And what he decided to do was he wanted to be significant. Now, he acknowledged that success and significance can overlap. Absolutely. But he wanted to be significant in God's eyes and successful in the Lord's eyes and not the world's eyes. And now Nashville and the music industry pretty much has shunned him because of his bold stance. And he's not afraid to talk about his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it was a fantastic, it got me pumped up because, and I'm sure we all can relate to some extent, most of my adult life was focused, I mean, I was a Christian, but it was focused on success, you know, my job, my career, making sure that, you know, I was meeting the number that the company wanted me to meet. I've been in sales most of my adult life. In medical sales, and I've gotten awards throughout and done well, done fantastic. It's provided well. God's grace allowed me to do that, but that's where my focus was, unfortunately. I'm not saying that in any way bragging. You know, you have a house and cars, and thankfully, even when I was pursuing worldly success, now granted, let me just back, put a little asterisk, it is my duty as a parent to provide for my family. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's the motivation behind it. So COVID comes, and we started coming here, and we started focusing more on the Lord. Nothing wrong with any other church we've ever been to. But unbeknownst to me, I started switching it from success and doing more significant things. And they overlap. You can, like I said, but started doing more work for the Lord and doing what he wanted me to do, doing uncomfortable things. Like I've told you before, if you've been here, getting up here and talking to you guys in front of y'all, leading, preaching, what have you. It's not easy. You'll get tongue-tied. The evil one will get in your head and tell you, you know, call you all kinds of names. You just got to shove that aside and cast that anxiety away. But I tell you all that because as Christians, I challenge you, be successful, fine, but seek to be significant for the kingdom. And let those overlap as much as they can. But we're going to read here in a little bit in Hebrews 11, where many of the people mentioned, they weren't necessarily successful in the world's views. Am I echoing a lot? Or is it just me that's hearing the echo? Okay. Am I speaking loud enough? All right. Am I speaking loud enough? Okay. So keep that in mind as we go through a little bit of Hebrews, and then we'll wrap up with what we started with. The reason I chose Hebrews 11 along with the success versus significance is that it talks heavily, I mean, they call it the hall of faith. Is that, did I use the right term? But we have to have faith. You have to, by faith, we can do these things and accomplish these things, whatever it is that God is telling you to do and leading you to do. But Hebrews, for anyone that don't understand who wrote Hebrews, who it was written to, when it was written, I'm going to give you a little introduction so that we know that part. Hebrews, the reason I chose it for Sunday school class is because it's something I've never really dug into. So I thought, well, that'll be a good one. We'll dig into that. So Hebrews, they don't know who wrote it. Originally in the early church, they kind of attributed it to Paul, but it does not follow along with his writing style, his ruggedness. It doesn't introduce himself like he does in all of his other letters. So most scholars today agree that it's not Paul who wrote that. Some of the other people that scholars today think it could be attributed to, Barnabas, Apollos, Luke, Priscilla, ultimately the authorship remains anonymous. The date and time was somewhere between 60 and 70 AD, and that's pertinent because the destruction of the temple was AD 70, and in Hebrews he mentions the temple multiple times, so we know that the temple still stands. The audience from the get-go is to Hebrew Christians. He's really focusing on them. Apparently there's a lot of pressure, just like we have pressure today. But you can imagine back then, the Jewish people were trying to pressure them into turning away from Christianity, from Christ. Even the Gentile Christians at the time, it's directed to them too, but mainly to the Hebrew Christians. And by the time we get to Hebrews 11, he jumps into going through a litany of heroes of old that any good Jewish person would know back then. So with that, I'm going to read the book of Hebrews 11. All right. I'll be in ESV to make it easier on you all, make it easier on me. It's easier to read than New King James Version. Anyway. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for conviction of things not seen. Now, faith here, according to the ESV Study Bible, is not blind faith. It's not a vague hope or grounding wishful thinking. It's settled confidence in something in the future. It's not a wish. It's a confident hope. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, let me get back to that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I try, and if you've ever been, if you've ever related to anything and your life experiences, you know, God put that there for a reason. So if I run off on my own little personal stories, it's not for my glory at all. It's for Christ's glory. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. If you're struggling, whatever it is, and you just can't seem to get that faith, you can't get rid of the fear and anxiety. What I learned is, I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I think I've shared it with you before, you have to keep turning that over to the Lord and asking him. Look, I've begged. It's like, look, you tell me to be courageous, cast your anxiety on you, have faith. I can't do that by myself. I can only do that by his spirit that lives in me. And you have to diligently seek that. And if you've not experienced something that brings you to your knees, you will eventually. It's going to happen. So the way we get that faith is through prayer, speaking to God all the time. Always be ready to listen, ready to talk, reading his word. You don't know how often, if you're in a bad situation, that the Lord will give you the words that you've read before, and it'll be just what you needed to know at that time. Let's go on. Noah, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, is in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Stop there a second. Every one of these people, not everyone, many of these people that they're using as an examples had a lot of flaws. That is written about. Sarah there herself laughed when she heard she was going to get pregnant. Yeah. So her initial response wasn't, oh, yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen. It was laughter. It was like, no way. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak must make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. He's prepared for us a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of this exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn may not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, but because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves on the earth. And all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us. That apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And when it says they did not receive what was promised, it's because at that time Christ had not came. They were the start of it. Verse 12, 1 and 2, just to finish this reading off, because you can't stop there. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Common themes there? By faith. So, all these people we talked about, Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, did not focus on their failures. You have failures. I have many. God doesn't focus on our failures. What he's looking for is our faith to do what he asks us to do. And just like people are here tonight. Yeah, that's not on silent. It is on silent. It was my mom. My mom. My family get emergency bypass from the silence. So mom always calls at dinner time. Yep, right there. Anyway, as we do a transition to the gym, I mean, you guys that are here tonight, right, you're obviously not just coming on Sunday mornings. We will need your help. We need your skills, your abilities. We need you to chip in. I don't care if you don't have any carpentry skills. I don't have much. I can hit a hammer. I might not hit the nail. I can swing a hammer, rather. Might not hit the nail, but I can swing it. Any number of these guys can tell you what to do and give you all kinds of gopher work. Trust me, I've done it. When we redid this. Do you know what it's like? I've told some of you when you're up here and you got Wayne looking at you. Wayne's an engineer, and it's intimidating because he wants a dress. But it's okay. Wayne probably wouldn't do well getting up here. I could. So when these opportunities come up for you to serve the church and serve the Lord, just do it. You don't have to make excuses. Well, I can't because, just by faith. The overarching message is that these individuals please God through their faith, not by their flawed lives or immediate rewards, but by trusting in His unseen promises. They were commended for it. We were told to run the race of faith, fixing our eyes on Jesus as the ultimate example. You don't know how many times I've prayed, let me serve you. So when Justin says, hey, can you lead Wednesday night? I'm like, yep, because that's what I've been praying for. Not that I'm a good speaker, not in any way, shape, or form, but if I'm given that opportunity, I'm going to do it. And I encourage you to do the same. What was I reading? It might have been on one of those podcasts or what have you. Everyone should live lives that, I'm stumped now, one of y'all. Where is it where Paul talks about the, what elders and deacons, how they should, the standards. There you go. Every Christian man and woman should live those standards to the best that they can. And really, that's not just showing up on Sunday morning. If that offends you, I'm not really sorry. It's just what it is. I used to do that. I'm allowed to say it because I was there. It doesn't mean I wasn't a Christian. But we would go to Sunday morning at where we went to church and went home and lived our lives. Show up again on Sunday morning. The Lord wants you to live for Him on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Come, help. Run this race by faith. So in relating all that together, Hebrews 11 highlights the distinction between the worldly success and eternal significance. Success often implies measurable achievements like wealth, status, power, or recognition. Modern day metrics, whatever, your career, you got a promotion. It's good for your family. It's fine. You should provide. You should work to support your family. But let's focus on significance also. Although the chapter's examples show that true faith rarely aligned with these, many heroes faced hardship, exile, poverty, and apparent failure in earthly terms. Abraham wandered without owning land. Moses fled as a fugitive. Prophets were sown in two and lived in caves. Nobody around here is getting sawed in two. And we still just check the boxes as minimal as possible. And I don't mean to be putting you down. Like I said, the only reason I can say it is because I've lived that. Over in the Middle East, people are getting their heads cut off for proclaiming Christ. And they still do it. They'll hide as much as possible, but they're not going to deny Christ. We have it easy. We're really coddled. So significance in context. Living with an eternal impact. Pleasing God. Advancing His kingdom. Storing up heavenly rewards. Faith makes one significant by prioritizing obedience over outcomes. Trusting God's promise amid uncertainty. In practical application, pursue faithfulness in daily life, serving others, sharing the gospel, enduring trials over chasing rewards and accolades. We want to live lives that lead to a legacy that echoes into eternity. I hope, and the fruit of it you can see, but I hope that Lisa and I have done a good enough job that Allie and Mason see through our faults and see the good and overlook our faults so that they can also make eternal an impact for the kingdom. So they can follow the Great Commission. So when I said that the most stressful thing is filling a time slot, because I don't know how fast I talk, you know? So I usually don't open it up, we're a little early. I usually don't open it up to questions because I'm afraid I'll get a question that I don't know how to answer from up here without preparing. But if I don't, I'll just tell you, I don't know. There's plenty of people here that can answer the question if I don't know. Or if you have a comment or a testimony. Fire away. My testimony is I just want to serve the Lord for years. I want me and my family to serve the Lord for years. What he wants, whatever. There's no way I can even remotely repay him for what he's done for me on the cross by his stripes. And show me what you want me to do. And sometimes when you're, I told Luke the other day, which I'm sure many of you can relate to, if you get to the point where you can say, honestly, I submit, that's a tough place. And it's not, in my experience, it's not an ongoing thing. It's like a daily submission. I don't want to talk to that person. I don't like them. Well, talk to them anyway. Okay. Anyone have anything to add to faith, significance versus success? Or are y'all just all staring at me? Now she's in the, correct my, she's in the bloodline of Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the same.
And she's mentioned in Matthew.
Yeah,
I think she's
right.
Luke, but she's definitely mentioned in Ruth. She's mentioned in Elizabeth. But yes.
So what's that show you? It don't matter what your past is. If you're alive, you're breathing, let the Lord lead you on the path that he wants you on. You don't know the impact you may have on someone.
Yeah, because the author even says we don't have time to talk about all these rest of these, which were really, you know, prominent too. But I just thought that was interesting. Two women that were mentioned.
And some scholars think Priscilla may have wrote Hebrews, but some people will debate that.
Even when you go
the verse, and you don't know it. I believe, help my unbelief when he's talking to Jesus. And faith definitely does build on faith. The more you see these things, when God puts you to work and you see the outcomes, it's like, oh, wow. It's not because, yes, she's my daughter, so I'm going to. I think you're allowed to brag if your kid does something Christian related, right? So she helped start BCM at D&E. And some offspring of that and her relationship with some of the people up there. I mean, and I've told some of y'all this, but one of her good friends is from Scotland. So her good friend got saved. And now she's goes back to Scotland. So it's now an international mission that she set out on. And we all should be seeking to do that. Make an impact. It's not always sharing the gospel. It might be getting your hands dirty and helping us move chairs. It's not always, it might be cleaning the bathroom. But jump in and help. We need your help. Anyone else with the...
That's I was just like, that's what it is. And it was just like a couple weeks away, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not ready for this. But through faith, right? Through faith and whatever it may be, faith in the Lord or just faith of my ability to get it done, I was able to get it. And we've been doing something. It started the ball rolling, and we're still doing it now. It's morphed and changed because it wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
Being there and getting the ball rolling, being involved, doing it, that's kind of where my brain went back to 13 years ago at work. So this, you know, I guess if you'd have done this message about 13 years ago, it would have saved me some stress. But I guess we didn't know each other then.
But even our work, we're supposed to do our work as if unto the Lord. Me and a buddy that I work with very closely every day, he's like family to me at this point in time. We have to remind each other of that, you know, because work stinks sometimes, you know. It just does. But if we can somehow put our mindset in that we're doing our work as if unto the Lord, it's like, okay, this is what you've allowed me to do. This is how you've allowed me to provide for my family. Then I need to do the best I can at that. No, absolutely.
Last year and said,
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and like your mission code, when you were talking work, like, that's just what, live by faith wherever you are.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's just, you can just really make a difference.
And when I talk about this stuff here at the church, that's just because we're at the church. You absolutely.
Well, hey, Mike and I served for so long.
Oh, I know. And there's days that I tell my buddy, because we after action review things all the time. Lisa thinks we talk like two teenage girls. But it's like, I don't know what I did that impacted the kingdom today. I don't, because it's like I interacted with this doctor that is very hard to interact with, you know. So I mean, you just got to do your best. But some days I don't feel like I accomplish much kingdom work.
Yeah.
Other days I feel like, yeah.
Or you don't know you're doing it.
Right.
You planted a seed along the way,
and
they see something different
than you did. I hope. I've gotten feedback over the years, and it is such a compliment. It's like, really? You thought that out of me? And it's like, well, good. I was doing something okay, you know.
Weird and awkward, and I feel like sometimes I have a hard time meeting people.
I like how you said you would rely on yourself. And it took me back. I used to be kind of a closet prepper. And then these things happen in life, and then you realize there's nothing I can do. Nothing. So you, it's just more faith and more faith.
Yeah.
Come to Jesus with.
Yeah.
Anyone?
So,
Anyone else have anything they'd like to share, testimony, praise the Lord about? Well, we have Wednesday. We won't have Wednesday night next week, I assume. Because
yeah,
we have the Christmas Eve service. Okay, okay.
At five.
He said from 5 to 6 sharp.
Well,
sharp.
That's what he said.
Are you gonna be leading some hymns?
Probably.
That was beautiful. That was a beautiful Christmas carol. Anyone else? I love to hear y'all's stories. And other people love to hear them, and most likely someone needs to hear them. Because what you've experienced, what you've went through, they may be struggling with. Or they may struggle with it in the future. So share your story. Not because it's your story, but it's for God's glory. I'm going to close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come together tonight and read from your word and hopefully learn a little bit to take with us, Lord, so that people may see you through us more every day, at work, at church, at home. Let us live more like you. Lord, let us lead lives of significance for your kingdom, for eternity. Go with us throughout this week as we head into the season of celebrating your son's birth, and as we head into a new year to shine more for you. In Jesus' name, amen.